Yeah, hello Aisha. I'm happy you came to the interview. Thank you.
Thank you.
So maybe we start right in the middle. What is the essence of your teaching?
Right in the middle, he said.
Yeah.
The essence.
Mm. If you have a teaching, I don't know how you call it or...
Yeah, I don't really consider myself as much to be a teacher as a facilitator. And in a way you could say that the liberation of human beings is what I primarily work with. And it's that eradication of everything. And the birth of everything within that, which is the very core of what seems to move in my coming together with people.
Liberation from what?
From that suffering which comes with being asleep. From that suffering which comes from not knowing oneself and your true nature. But in a way it's like, I would rather say that the invitation around my work with people is more based on a core of inviting the full potential of everything. Inviting the full potential of our awakening to truth. Because it's less about the whole focus on the suffering part, but more like, because the suffering goes hand in hand with the someone who suffers, and all of that goes away. So with a greater weight on the freedom, on the stepping into the full potential, with a greater weight on, yeah, truth. Yeah.
Is there something wrong in suffering?
Definitely nothing wrong. It's a choice, no? Nonetheless, in the dissolving of everything, that just seems to vanish.
How comes it animals are not suffering, but human beings?
Well, they aren't as equipped as we are in terms of the whole duality thing, are they?
Yeah. Okay, explain how...
Like the human being is well equipped in terms of coming to the self-realization. The realization is like God seeing itself through us. And as human beings, we have become very... evolution has carried us further and further in terms of making us able to allow that distinction and that reflection to happen within mind. Yeah, that makes a difference.
And to have the possibility of reflection of different thoughts and things.
It's less the thoughts. It's more about the coming into the recognition of pure being. I'm sure being itself, being that reflection of source, which can happen through the human being. But the human vehicle is unique in that way.
And to reflect about things or circumstances in the daily life, it's a help or not?
Well, it's like, in terms of the why we're here part. The why we're here is not to be someone living a life. The why we're here is happening out of that invitation, that recognition that God wants to see itself, that life wants to be realized as itself, that truth is waiting to be uncovered, but as the bottom line of the very joy of life. When you ask what's wrong with suffering, there's nothing wrong with anything, but in terms of that dualistic element which is going on in human beings' heads, this very construct is making it impossible for life to simply live itself and for the real joy of life to be the case. And it's just a waste. Yeah.
What do you mean by God?
I mean, the core of all this. It's like the pure awareness itself is just wakefulness, it's prior to God. But God is the very vibration, the universal force, and that core which is behind this very manifestation. And to come into that recognition, in a way there is no difference between one who's awake and one who's not awake, other than, well, everything. Yeah. At the same time, you could say that the very invitation is for that potential of everything. And for myself, I can say that, in a way, I could say that my life, it didn't really begin until that choice of embracing truth actually happened. Because that which was living before was living a life of its own, and it was all very good. It was not painful or anything like that. But nonetheless, there was something much greater to life, to existence, to me, to you.
How did you know when it was not there?
I didn't know. But it happened as that inner itch, kind of like going fully for that which was being driven by everyone else, like without the conscious choices. It just became a reflection of kind of like following the herd of like what we're supposed to be doing here. But the moment that there was a choice of love for myself, everything changed, because all of a sudden it was about the conscious choices. It was about the reality that even though I had done everything I thought I wanted, everything I thought that would bring me happiness, all of this, that it actually came down to that when that was in place, there was no joy in it. There was something missing, and that something was me, obviously. Because following the hurt, I just got further and further away from myself. Yeah.
So where true happiness comes from? Happiness without reason?
It doesn't come from anywhere. It's always the case. But what we are doing is that we are removing ourselves from that joy. Because that joy is the very simplicity of being. And that simplicity of being is one of the cornerstones of our true nature. So in terms of moving ourselves away from that wholeness, from that freedom, from that surrender, I would say more than anything, to move ourselves into these like more and more close view on who we are and what, why we're here and what we're doing and all of this, to allow all of these like blinds to simply be torn off, and to start allowing life to happen in its own freedom, in its own time, in its own place, in its own in its own flow, in a way.
When this is not happening, when people are thinking they are a person, it's also God that let this happen.
Most definitely. The evolution of consciousness, though, has brought us to this place. And it's run everything on this planet to a certain point where now there is only one way, and that way is to reverse everything, because we cannot keep going as we're going without the complete destruction of everything. So it's just like the happening of darkness, in a way. But from there, that turnover and becoming a reflection of light, in a way, but not particularly light apart from darkness, but a much more mature way of being human. It's just the way of life.
Was there something happening that your life changed, or it just changed out of the blue?
I would say that there was a, there was a specific point where I was I had everything in place, everything that I thought that I wanted. And it just turned out that everything that I was doing was just not satisfying. And of course, it's that inner itch which calls us towards truth. It's that inner itch which calls us towards awakening, towards the recognition of who we are. But also the call towards our the birth of our uniqueness. Not specialness, but uniqueness, the uniqueness of our souls, because that as well has everything to do with this journey. Because if we don't know who we are, how can we live as ourselves? So in that sense, the invitation is actually to be born, to be really born into that uniqueness of our souls. Because that is where beauty happens. Yeah. I came to that point where it just, I felt the dissatisfaction of the whole thing. And the thought popped in my head that but there must be more to life than this. And I started looking into myself. I do like this because it actually it entailed everything. It was not just a looking in, it was everything that had anything to do with my life. And in that, there was an investigation of like, okay, but asking myself, why am I doing what I'm doing? And the things that I could see and sense made sense. I could like, I could hold to myself as a part of me. But all of the things that were just waste or which were dualistic in their nature in terms of not having anything to do with love for myself or love for everything, that it just fell off like one by one. It was like it didn't make sense. Particularly this came down to my work actually. I was sitting in an office like 8 hours a day and just pissing my energy down the drain. Just for a paycheck. It didn't make any sense in my heart what I was doing there. And I just had that job because that was a part of the package I had set up. Yeah. So quitting on that job and asking myself, what am I actually supposed to be doing here? What, in terms of love for myself, what would I really enjoy doing here? And it all came down to the reality of being useful for this place. Not just sitting and doing what I had to do to for my own survival, something like that, but actually investing the energy that I was like given as a gift every morning, to invest that in something which was useful for me and for everyone else. Mm.
And how did the change happen?
How change happened? Ooh. Well, when all of this started, I was married, and I had a house and a car and like all of this. And the changes happened gradually. It started out with that sense of feeling something's wrong, and with the level of ignorance I had back then, because I was completely blind at the time. And I just started having to clean up whatever was in my life, and I allowed those changes to happen, like bit by bit by bit, taking one at a time, looking at this, does this make sense, doesn't it make sense? Like, just like cleaning up, you know? Yeah. And then it was a gradual thing. Gradual in the way that the more that I was willing to take responsibility, the more capacity opened up, and the more capacity opened up, the more directly I was shown the way. So it was like I had to just start walking and not stop or like stand in hesitation and allow this like a cliff of fear to grow, because obviously the only thing I had to go on was my knowing inside myself. And it also came through like an 8 month period of writing. I was writing for 8 months, just completely dissecting my brain in terms of coming down to the fact that, hell, I don't know anything. And looking around, seeing, hey, no one knows anything. And everyone is pretending. And the most successful ones are the ones who are best at pretending that they know something. And when I saw this, it was like, bloody hell, then the only thing I have left is listening to myself. So I did that, and it became a very, very strong fall out of everything known, and a very, very deep ripping open to life and the happening of Kundalini and a lot of things. But it was like first when I had said that yes, and I just chose to walk, no matter if like things could try to touch me from the sides in terms of fear of, oh, I just walked strong, simply. Strongly.
Did you meet people in this process who were a help for you?
Well, I had a partner at that time, and he took me out, and that was actually the first meeting I had with anything meditation. Like, he took me out to a guy in Denmark who was doing these meditation sessions maybe once every second week or something. And I was there for a few times, and then during the first 6 months or something, we were there sometimes. And we just walked in there, and there was not much talking or anything. We just went in and sat down and had these meditations of maybe an hour or an hour and a half, and then left again. And that just was enough to get the ball rolling. And, yeah. But in the beginning, meditation really wasn't me, because every time I sat down to meditate, there was just so much noise. But I only started meditating later. But in the beginning, it was more about that full taking responsibility for love, and then allowing meditation to happen as my living life, more than sitting down, as if meditation and sitting down is apart from what I'm living. So inviting that silence of love being the case into everything. Yeah.
So what mean meditation for you? Putting the attention inside?
Well, what does meditation mean? Well, the state of meditation is when love is constantly moving the body. That I would call meditation. But at the same time, people refer to meditation as that practice of sitting down. We can call that meditation too, because in some ways it is. I mean, one thing is that which allowing life to come fully into its flow through letting go and allowing the full opening and taking full responsibility for that yes to life, which creates as existence the state of meditation. But in terms of the real awakening, that awakening which is beyond existence, for that sitting is the case. Because without sitting, all of the winds of the nervous system cannot return to their source through the headspace, and that's where the real awakening happens. People use that word awakening like this, and some talk about it as like awakening of the heart and awakening of the head and like all of this, but I like to speak about that which people refer to as awakening of the heart. I want to speak about that as self-realization, because it's very specifically about the self, God is found through the heart. But when it comes to the mind, well, my experience is that that what is found through there is void. It's complete emptiness, and that which is prior to God, and that's what I could call pure awareness. While consciousness is conscious of something, pure awareness is just a light bulb. It's just wakefulness. Hmm.
And it's always grace when this is happening?
If it's always grace, grace is definitely playing its part in all of this. But specifically, grace is playing its part when we're allowing it to play its part. I could say, I mean, I've been living a completely normal life until that part where this started rolling. And but the moment that my front end, my conscious self, my human being was ready to take the consequence of that and to meet that which was coming as grace into this life, when that willingness to the meeting was there, then all of a sudden life and surrender could start gaining momentum, you know? And bring in further and further these, deeper and deeper into that complete knocking out by Kundalini. Yeah.
Is surrender something we can do?
Well, the thing is that depending on who I'm talking to and depending on the state they're in, I can speak to and as the activation of that which comes to know itself to surrender. But when people are speaking with me, they're fluctuating between speaking from that which needs to surrender and where I'm in direct communion with their beings. And the being itself can be invited to step in and to burst through that forefront of lack of surrender. So someone can surrender, but at the same time, to the extent that we're willing to let ourselves be bathed in that love for ourselves, that's where being starts floating in over the scene. And right there, yes, we can surrender. But when there is something like running like crazy from a place of contraction, then the only thing there is to do is to stop. Because then right there, stopping is equal to taking the consequence of that which is not surrendered. So there are two angles of this surrender. The one is the direct surrender of letting go. It's an inner gesture, yeah? But the second one is what to do from the place of the someone who cannot find himself surrendered. Because he is a point. He's a point moving around trying to find out something. But the moment that this point is being told to stop, then all of a sudden that flow of life comes, and it comes as a wave. And if you stay stopped, if you stay still, that flood of grace, it will wipe you out of the way. But you have to be willing to take the consequence feeling wise. Otherwise that surrender cannot happen, because then there is constantly something riding around on that life which is actually just trying to wipe you out.
You understand what you're speaking, or it's not necessary?
If I understand what I'm speaking of?
Yes.
Sure, I see it.
Yeah, sometimes people told me they start a sentence and they don't know the end of it.
Well, I never know the end of it. But that's not the same as that I don't understand it. I mean, understanding, there's not someone understanding here. But there's just, since there has been that purification of heart and that coming into the union with God, that's like where being is the case. But in the purification of the mind and awakening to pure awareness, then pure mind is revealed. And when these two come together, it's just like, well, I'm seeing what I'm saying to you. There is not a someone understanding it, but there is a seeing of it, yeah.
Pure mind, can you explain a little bit more what it means?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like when there is not someone living in the head anymore, when identification with thought no longer is the case. It's like people talk about this with being in the head as if that's a bad thing, you know? But what people need to see, that being in the head is actually where pure mind starts revealing itself. But being in the head is not the same as being lost in thought. Lost in thought, you're not being in the head, and you're not being in the body. You're not actually being at all. You're just lost. But the moment that there starts becoming a penetration through into our very vessel of a penetration of being itself. And being in the head is actually that which starts to completely purify everything which is up here. It's the same we do in meditation, yeah? We sit and we fall in, and then we actually disappear into the headspace. That's the awakening part. The purification of everything around the headspace. And the seeing comes from, let's just say, we're used to living in a bottle. And when that bottle breaks, then pure mind is the case. But pure mind is actually the revelation of, it's like crystal clarity. It's a complete seeing. It's like the data bank of everything is visible. And that doesn't mean that there is someone rummaging around in this data bank, but it's like all data is constantly available. Yeah.
Some people tell about working mind for practical things, and otherwise it's just silent.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say the same? Or?
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of like the seat of the seat of rest. Different people get to realize source, realize truth in different areas of being. But it's becoming more and more obvious that actually we don't have to settle for an awakening through the headspace or through the heart space or through the gut, but that there actually is an invitation to truth which allows an alignment and embrace of ourselves through every angle, every dimension of being. And this invites for something completely different, because where before, if we talk about up here, you know, then the silence disappears, non-existence. That's great. It's peace. It's primordial silence. But right there, an upkeeping of the separation and ignorance which comes from here on down. So when we start including the heart sphere, all of a sudden, that expansion of consciousness which comes to encompass like the whole universe, every layer of existence, not just this universe, but everything that exists. Again, an unfolding, expansion, coming to be everything, not just see everything, but be everything. And again, beauty, oh my God, pure light, you know, pure light, life, God, love, great. But here we are again. And we have the reality of this little human being, this little human vehicle, who completely can get lost in this. But right there, if there's a coming together of the clarity of the mind and the wholeness, the fullness of the heart that allows itself to sink deeply into the stomach space, and all of a sudden this is where that verse of the uniqueness comes in. This is where a really solid realization becomes the case, because all of a sudden there's the true incarnation happening. And this true incarnation actually means that the reality of these realizations falls directly between the hands of the human being. Obviously, that invites for higher and higher levels of responsibility, because carrying this knowledge deeply down into the human cells also means that walking the planet, and specifically this with allowing life to happen exactly as it is, simply. Yeah. Phew. But right there, there is a coming into a healthy individuality, which is not based on identification, which is not based on a clinging to either dimension of being, not clinging to the emptiness, not clinging to the love, and not clinging to the individuality, but an actual revelation. And this is where I talk about liberation, because liberation itself comes through a complete eradication of that which clings to any dimension of being. So without this clinging, when this is worn down, when this is learned within our being, how to exactly deal with the turnover and the transformation of that energy which rises as that I which clings to anything. When that goes and goes and goes and is worn down to the very socks, and all of a sudden, the stomach is open, and right there, the sweetness of that individuality. But in that, in no way a separation from the reality of God itself. And thereby no separation either from the emptiness of all things. So right there, there's like a freedom which is, it's indescribable. And yet, it's natural beyond anything. It's more simple than anything.
Mm. Yes, actually I like more to listen to your word than to understand you. It's funny, sometimes the mind grabs a word or a sentence, but actually it's really beautiful to listen to your words. So everything is a play of life, and life likes to play in the way everything is?
Definitely. Most definitely. But it's only when we get so caught up, and we get so riding into like self-importance or diving into self-pity, that we completely miss the point. That the play of life is exactly what's going on here. That this is the game of God. So the moment that we make that separation between ourself and life itself, then the only thing we have left is to be someone living a life, because it's like, well, we chose to be apart from that, and then we have to make up our own stuff, in a way. While if we don't make up our own stuff, but if we deeply fall to our knees inside, like with the real humility to life, then right there, something completely different is going on than what is going on in most parts of the world. Yeah. But it's like the very run of what's going on is so very fear-based, you know. And that choice that I mentioned before, that choice of taking responsibility for love for ourselves, and to bring that love that we carry for ourselves, to bring that into the world rather than our fear. The moment that we do something out of this survival thing, it's like the fear of dying is running our actions. But if that is turned over, flipped over, upside down, where all of a sudden we choose to take responsibility for ourselves, we were given a human life. What if we start to value it? If that human life all of a sudden is held like a gift, like a present, and we start loving ourselves from there, and allowing our life to unfold from that place of humility, where there's not about a goal, it's not about reaching a state, it's not about reaching any manifest specific place, but we're constantly willing to let go of our world picture, all of these things that we've picked up from the collective consciousness, all of these things we've put together, and where actually everyone has their own picture anyway. People think that they're together here, but they're deeply separated because everyone sees everything differently. And why is that? Because the only place we can actually meet is in truth. And right there is not about your opinion and my opinion, because opinions do not matter in truth. Simply, it's a tearing down of that which comes in as opinionated, that which comes in as wanting something specific, and it's a much deeper surrender to the pure will of life itself. The pure will is found in our hearts. It's not a thought and it's not a want. Yeah. Right there, the core of this, of course, is to deeply come into that humility to life, deeply be willing to listen to the heart, deeply be willing to allow the heart to manifest ourselves by giving up our fear of dying as these separate individuals. Being willing to meet that fear, being willing to be fully afraid while we're doing what we need to do, and not let the fear control our lives, but let love. Yeah. Mm.
Does it affect you how the people around you are feeling, or if they are happy or not, or in even the people in other parts of the world?
Well, the thing is that the deeper the coming into the God is, the more it's like the very view on life and living in truth. It constantly changes through the different dimensions of realization. While the heart is very saint-like, is very compassionate in that way, and the head is the total carelessness, right? What I'm experiencing is that the total carelessness and the total care is to come together deeply into the gut, where the individuality, the integrity, but also the full responsibility is the case. And the full responsibility is not operating on a separate or party view from the totality of everything and nothing. But in terms of this with feeling, I would say that in coming into the gut, there is a growing into or a growing out of a completely indescribable sensitivity. And that sensitivity comes out of that embrace of the vulnerability, which is our humanness. The humanness itself is our bottom line. And it's inevitable that when we go through these phases of realization, that it doesn't get lost. Because to burst this bubble, everything goes. And to come fully into the purification of consciousness, everything is absorbed, everything is included. But in terms of this with feeling everything around you, and that sensitivity is very much based on the individuality, but also the birth into the Black Mother, which can actually contain all of these feelings. Can contain all of the pain which is connected with this earth at this point in time. So yes, I'm very much touched by and see how other people are feeling around me. But does it affect me? No. I see it, I feel it. And that for my case particularly, I'm still coming into the gut. There's a greater and greater expansion going on in the very core of the gut at this point in time for me. And that means that there is an amount of information which can be contained within this. And when it goes above that, then again, there is a deeper death into the gut and a greater birth out through the gut of the Black Mother, so to speak. Yeah.
Is it in any way different for men and women to go this way?
I've been... yes, it is. Yeah. It's for the last year or so, I've been in consort work with my partner. And what we have found out that the men... it's like we have different primary essences. The primary essence of the woman is the love, is existence. The primary essence of the man is the emptiness. And this is why we come from completely different places when we're coming in. And that means that actually since the woman is like further down already, further into existence already, she's closer to her feelings. Her sensitivity is larger than man's. And it just means that her potential is greater. Her potential for coming in is greater. It doesn't mean that man cannot come in, obviously. We both can, because man and woman is, I mean, it's just a vehicle in a way. But still, that entry point for us also determines that when a man and woman cultivates, I can say that from my experience now with the cultivation with my partner, is that he's coming more and more into his heart by the calling from my heart. And the more he comes into his heart, the more room there is for this woman and for my being to come deeper and deeper into the gut. So it's like we're following each other down like this. So that the further in that cultivation, we dig deeper and deeper and deeper together. So he comes deeper and deeper into his heart and into his man. And this woman, I again come from the God consciousness and from emptiness, coming deeply into the woman. So it's like a woman is born, but in another sense, it's like the woman is born. And that's what I was talking about before, the Black Mother, that it's like the very womb of the woman is designed differently than the man. And when that womb is filled with that light, it's the birth of something very specific. Yeah.
Usually there are more women interested in spirituality because they are nearer to their feelings and
specifically these days, it's like all these phases we have gone through as men and women. With a woman becoming more and more capable, it's like both men and women are becoming more and more, due to this evolution of consciousness I was talking about, that at this point in time we're all equipped with the masculine and the feminine in terms of the access within us, because we have to realize both the masculine and the feminine, because otherwise it's half a realization. If we only realize the masculine essence, it's just emptiness. If we only realize the life and die into that very flame of life, then we have consciousness, we have God consciousness, but actually it's not equal being awake. So it's like that which comes to fully care in that purification of consciousness, that realization as an in love, that burning in the flame, like allowing the body to literally burn in that flame, that can still be held in that container of the self, even if the self is realized as the pure self. So it's like that balloon has to pop as well, and for that to happen, the masculine essence has to come, because that becomes the birth of the clarity and the sword in the very core of that softness of love. Because if we just stand with the softness of love, it's a lower form of compassion than the kind of compassion which is the case when that fully held, fully nurturing love is there, but that the sword of clarity is like slicing right down the middle of it. Because this is where that alignment is the case, where the sword is the case of the clarity, but also the full embrace of existence with love and with care. The paradox, yeah? Careless and carelessness. No, care and carelessness. Yes.
You have any connection to the, I say, maybe great masters of this time, like Osho or Papaji or Ramana or...
One second. I need water now. Let's say that I've been working with some masters, but none of them are the here and now masters that you're talking about. I've had meetings with these ones, and not on this plane, obviously. None of them have actually been alive while I've been here. But I've had 1, 2, 3, 4 masters specifically that I've worked with, and funnily enough, all of them have been of Buddhistic lineage. And I've never, in this lifetime, I haven't really studied Buddhism or anything like that, but it's been like, specifically through that first period of time, I was going through very, very massive like expansion, like 5 rounds a day of expanding consciousness and trance states and resetting of the mind and like all of these things that were going on back then. And during that period of time, there was one specific master who was kind of keeping an eye on me, and that ended up with in emerging with the master in the end of that. And after that, there has been, well, there was Longchenpa, and after that, there was Yeshe Togya, and as it is now, it's Padmasambhava. And Padmasambhava and the work that's going on with him now is just the same reflection of what's been going on before. But it's not a channeling, it's more like an integration of their beings that has been going on. So always a preparation period of, first meeting this master. It's almost like I've been like poked on the shoulder because I haven't ever really looked into this stuff and I didn't really know of anyone. But still they just kind of appeared. And then that period of being prepared to receive the teaching. And then once prepared, then this download starts. And then it's just like communing very intensely with this master for some 6 months, some 8 months, with a total period of maybe 3 years or something for each master. So, yeah.
Well,
so definitely.
Yeah.
But I want to say that to this... I want to say that it's all just a game of God. It's all just a play of consciousness. Because basically, what I can see is going on is just, it's just a download. It's just like software. It's just consciousness copying itself down into consciousness, and then a nervous system getting blocked up like a shoe, and then that being operates through this being. So it's just, yeah. That's just.
When people maybe come more often to you, you feel them as your disciples, or is something happening, something intimate, or how you see people coming to you?
It's I have a retreat program of people that I'm working with intensely, where I'm having like longer retreats, 2 to 3 times a year. And these people I see again and again. Then there are the people. Then there is everything beyond that retreat program, which is like basically these days like a lot of people like clicking in with my being at different places in the world. And from that level of being itself, sure, there is a direct feeling, seeing everyone that that my being is connecting with. When they come to me, how do I feel them? from one level, I'm feeling them as myself. I don't really do the whole disciple thing. It's not really. It's probably one of the gifts of being born in the West, that more than anything, I actually invite for a straightness in the relation rather than a me playing spiritual parent. That I invite people into their potential rather than take responsibility for them. But then again and continuously and always doing that from a place of seeing what they're capable of right now and then just like cranking it up a notch, just a little bit. Just so people, they never waste their time with me, but they're invited into that potential. As in keeping people constantly looking to that which needs to be seen, rather than just taking them into my bosom and then they have a good time there, but then they go out with the exact same problems in a way. So, yeah. So, that's why I don't refer to myself as a teacher as such. Even though there are also these transmissions that are direct instructions to consciousness. It's not instructions to ego as such. It's more like direct instructions from consciousness to consciousness. Just like these downloads that are going on in my being, it's the same happening with other people. So that these transmissions that I'm giving to these people, they become like prints in their consciousness that then can start working with them when they are in their challenged states and when they have to work their ignorance out and all of this. Yeah. But this is why I call, this is why I use the word facilitator, because it's more like facilitating their awakening than taking someone under my wing, kind of, you know?
What does it mean when you say clicking into your being, as I understood?
Yeah. It's like, no matter who I'm looking at, they are, it's like it's a bulk of consciousness, and everyone is wired differently. So when there is the speaking going on, this transmission going on, it's just like if you imagine that you see everything in a light grid, yeah? You see everything as information in the grid of the universe, that you can actually put in information and you can subtract information from that equation. It sounds very math-like, and in a way it is. You know, it's like it's the logic. It's very, in one sense, it's very technical. But only the seeing of it, because the happening of it and the flow of it is completely organic. It's like that which life wants to make happen, happens. Yeah. But that assisting being, that assisting the birth of love, that assisting the death of illusion and of ignorance, it all comes together as the birth of truth, you know? Mm.
How can people reach you? Via your homepage, or they come to see you, or you give Skype session, or how does it work to
be in contact? Yeah, I don't really do Skype sessions. Actually, I do as a part of the retreat program. But there is on www.aishasevan.com, there is a web page there which describes the different ways of meeting up with people. As it is right now, obviously, the retreats that are only for the group, and then travels are going on, but it's less now with travels than it was before, because I've a hell of a thing to pull down. I'm going to write, will be a book written now, and that will take this fall, more or less, but there will be retreats here and there, and I do tours, like travels, and take invitations that way around, and then people show up there, traveling from different places, stuff like that. Oh, and then there's the online sessions. I started doing that once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like once people have met me, and if they're not really ready to be in the retreat program, that it's like there are still retreats, but it's shorter retreats, and there are the online satsangs, and then there is the, it's like there are some different people working with like the recordings that's done of when I'm talking and all of this, and it comes out as teachings on Facebook and like daily teachings coming out to people, and yeah, different kinds of stuff going on, but everything can be read on the web. So.
Yes, everybody will find what's the right way for him or her.
Yeah.
In the afternoon I will interview a woman who's talking a lot of angels. What angel? What you understand by angels?
This us is us in another form, isn't it? Without all the ignorance, without the foot into the world. Yeah.
It's just an energy, or?
Isn't it? Isn't everything? Yeah. It's like in this recognition of one being, everything within that one being, everything that exists on every level of existence is revealed as your very self. And that both be, when you're talking about this, it also be every being that we are scared of meeting, like in the lower realms, that everything is just energy.
Well, that was just a question and now it's gone.
Pretty blank.
Yes, but usually there are always questions coming, even when I'm blank. Maybe the best will come. Is there another topic or issue you want to talk about? You feel different in different countries?
I feel the countries in different countries, and the countries are different. The collective consciousness of each country is different. But as long as there is no clinging to any specific state of consciousness, then everything can get to be seen exactly as it is, no good or bad. But it doesn't mean that the body is equally happy in a place of like very fear-based living. And in nature, for instance, like the green nature, the untouched nature, everything is nature in a way. But there's that which is under the influence of our collective fear field. And then there's that which is not. Yeah.
So we are in Berlin. Can you say something about Germany and the feeling you have?
I always get this question. Do we like our country?
No, this is not.
No, it's well, it's very. Also, it is very close to Denmark, of course, but it's somewhat similar to Denmark. Collectively felt, and the wiring over here. It's more like if you consider like a whole scale or like a piano with different notes on it. And then there are the places which are like kind of heavy, and then there are the places that are really light. And it's kind of like in the middle. It's kind of like in the middle. Yeah. But everything is a wiring. It's just like the dashboard of the universe. It's just like, and you talk about this country as if it's separate from anything else, but the area itself has a wiring which is in its very own way. Yeah.
You mentioned the nature as a source of life, of being happy, of clearness.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens because we are nature in our true.
Definitely. Definitely. It's like nature itself is a reminder of perfection within chaos. You understand? It's like as human beings we try to structure everything, but we do it from a place of fear of that which is organic, that which is naturally, beautifully chaotic. And the moment that we have to create this order so that it fits with our heads, it's the same as bypassing our true nature, which is that surrender to that complete flow of life. And this doesn't mean that the flow of life is not happening in cities and happening with these areas, but it's just in terms of the remembrance of that perfect order, which is in nature, where everything is working without our having to organize it. that reminder is very valuable for us as human beings, specifically in our state of being caught up in these boxes and ways of thinking and the order and our idea of perfection. An idea which needs to go through like a massive alteration. The thing is, though, that there can be a complete bringing together of our lives as human beings and the beauty that we can bring with our order and our capacity to manifest and our, like, all of that which comes with having a mind which can be applied here. But if that mind is applied from that place of embracing truth, of inviting the birth of truth, of seeing everything in the mind through the heart, then all of a sudden the manifestation, it becomes free for people. So rather than being fear-based, it can be based on a bottom line of love. And then all of a sudden, there we have like the perfect coming together of our spirit, our spirituality, and our current capacity, in a way. Mm.
Would you say our body is the nearest nature for us?
Definitely. When you?
How
you just completely forgot what it's about. See it like this. People walk around. They have... They're operating on their way of seeing things, which is like from bits and pieces picked up from parents and teachers. It's all about, okay, we come in as these like empty vases or vessels. And then we start picking up these keys of consciousness to start build and put together like what's going on here. And then we build some kind of picture, but then that it's the first showing of this grasping, yeah? We grasp this, and this, and then we put it together to a world picture. But losing that world picture, yes, complete uncertainty, no safety. Safety the way we think safety is supposed to work. But right there, the letting go into the very nature of our bodies and coming into our bodies, these bodies, they have, you know, billions of years of evolution behind them, and our cells know everything. Through our very cells, we can come into the full recognition, we can come into the full revelation of being. But not just of being, but the earth wisdom. She's been here for a long time, and we all run around thinking that what we've been able to gather up here, in whether it be 20, 40, or 60 years, is what we have to go on. But it's just like bypassing the most immense gift that we're all given. The moment that we allow our bodies and the body's intelligence to be the case. Because this body of yours is a part of her. It's a part of the soil. And it means that that invitation to a full-blown wisdom within our beings is very much connected with our bodies. Hmm.
You feel the earth as a living being?
Definitely. It's coming into the gut. As consciousness, I could say, it's been like penetrating the earth, like the masculine energy coming straight into the earth and going back to the core of her, just like man and woman in a way, coming together in that merging, in that union. And that's kind of the reflection on us and our potential. When our masculine and feminine comes together, it's like that's the real opening of the feminine to pure consciousness, to her full potential. Not her as in a woman, but in the woman, and thereby man and woman body alike. Mm.
Can you explain this... the earth, this being of the earth is, she can be happy or unhappy or...
Being of the earth. Well, sometimes I've had direct, like, it's just like hearing the earth, She's just like you're standing here, you know, you have arms, you have legs. She doesn't have arms and legs, but she is like a round body of being. And that being itself is, well, she's not in a very good state. She's not very happy. There are places she cannot breathe. Just like if you imagine you had a bandage on, like for a long time. I've like had different seeings of how our plastering everything up in terms of making cities and like asphalt, all of this, we're just like covering her in and like locking her up. And there's been a great patience in her for a long time, for a long time. But it's also like right on that edge where that patience is running up, because the pain contained in her is just so massive. And this pain is a part of all of us. The moment that we allow that coming into the stomach, we feel this pain. And we have to transcend all of these different phases of these different layers of pain which are involved with us being a part of her. So that's a part of that opening up into the ground which I was talking about, where it's like going through immense phases of pain. And obviously that requires us to change completely our view on pain. Because for many people, that embrace of spirituality starts out from a place of trying to get away from this. But that part, that embracing truth means getting away from this, has also created greater and greater pain in her. Because it's like, she is disregarded every time, and in many ways she is an exiled body. That which could be a penetration, if the human being had, if we had done our job of surrendering ourselves, then God could enter into her as a body, because it kind of, we're kind of just vessels that way. We kind of just, yeah, allow that penetration to happen through us in a way, as humans. But as long as that is hasn't happened, then there is that greater and greater call from her in a way. Yeah. And we have to change our view on this pain, simply because if we only embrace love from the heart, from the God and up, then it's very much about this was making people feel good and all of this. But we're standing before a massive cleanup, in a way, and that cleanup involves a willingness to go down into the depths and allow the clearing out of everything. Because otherwise it's a kind of a selfish love, you know, it's kind of like it's based on us feeling good as a human race, while actually the deep connection with what's actually necessary on this planet, it cannot come from any kind of like out here. We have to listen deeply into her, because that's where the true intuition of everything is straightly available. That's where we start operating on, yeah, on this as one being. Yeah.
Is also the great numbers of human beings part of it, or doesn't matter that how many human beings are living on Earth?
Well, in a way, we're all just cells on her body, right? But obviously, it's like, in a way, you could say that human beings are the cancer on this planet. It's kind of like everyone that's born stands with that idea that we're here to, like, to produce more of us. And not just one, everyone stands with the desire to produce at least two. So it's just like we're just spreading all over and just eating all of the resources up. And yeah, well, let's just say that there is a call for us to take better care than just thinking about ourselves as separate individuals, living a separate life and what we want in our separate life. We have to give up this this need to be someone apart from everything. Yeah.
I remember that Osho, even 30, 40 years ago, advised people not to have children. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't really tell people what to do. But what I do is that I facilitate their coming to see on their own. Because otherwise it's just like talking to that which is separated. And it makes much more sense to bring people into their own authority and to actually invite for a full capacity of taking responsibility from there by them coming to see for themselves rather than adapting an idea of right and wrong. Because in a way I could say that right and wrong, it doesn't exist. But that doesn't mean that there's not in every moment a very specific right and wrong according to what life wants from you right now. And that goes with listening to the pure will of the heart and not the wanting.
The wanting is coming from the head, or?
The wanting is the... It's that kind of temptation which is combined with the identification and with that which grasps existence, that which solidifies. It's like wanting is the core of that is the sexual energy, but it's the power of creation. But in one sense we're all God. But we're just not taking responsibility for that being the case. So we're playing out those powers to create from a place of separation from everything. And that means, of course, that we're creating a hell of a chaos with everything. From that blindness, from that belief, from that which is desire based on separation rather than unity.
But anyhow, often when I'm in peace with myself and everything, there's a lot of lightness and happiness and...
It's like that energy within us which wants something. It needs to be met, because what's actually at the core of it is something which wants to keep going rather than stopping. And the moment it stops, it's deleted, it's eliminated, but for a vaster, a more expanded view of you as yourself. But as long as that which wants to keep moving keeps on moving, as long as we're afraid of stopping because of that flood of life which will eliminate us, then we're moving and keeping on moving, but it's fear-based. Because it's actually a trying to get away from life. It's just a reflection, you know, of the power of creation reflected into misunderstanding, in a way.
And any time it can change, for everybody.
Yes.
And we don't know how life will arrange this, because life is bigger than we.
Yes. The only thing we can do is our best, no?
Yeah.
But as long as we're willing to do our best, as long as we're doing our best, there's never anything to regret. Because right there is the invitation for us to take the consequence of being what we are at any given point in time. What we can add to that is the willingness to the humility of the reflections that the universe are bringing our way in terms of pointing to that in us which needs to surrender deeper and deeper. So it's an ongoing and everlasting and magnificent investigation, in a way, what's going on. That investigation is everything. The willingness to investigate, the willingness to give up arrogance and pride, the willingness to take responsibility inside for that which is trying to dodge the bullet of standing still and being silent inside by going into self-importance or diving into self-pity. The quietude, the choice of being real, is at the very core of us, and it's for every one of us to choose.
You have experience with the investigation, with the questions, who I am?
For myself?
Yeah, or from with other people, I don't know.
Yes, but it's that thing that I said that I was writing for 8 months, it was kind of like once I realized that I have no clue who I am. No clue. And when that's the case, obviously I had to find that answer within myself. I cannot ask someone else, who am I? I have to find that answer in myself. And to do that, I started writing. I wrote for 8 months. I was constantly investigating, who am I? Because it was obvious to me that how can I live a life if I don't know who I am? Then whose actions am I carrying out if they don't come from me? Whose thoughts am I thinking? Whose feelings am I feeling?
Did there come something out from your writing, a book or something?
No. No, it was like, yeah, I've been very with the whole giving up book things. There is a time for everything. Actually, I've written 5 books or something, but I never published them because the part of writing from a process never felt appealing to me. It's like there is so much stuff going out there that I don't want to just add another on the pile. And I didn't, it's like the transmissions, the real thing I'm willing to share with people, but I'll not do it from a place of processing. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's almost like using other people's ear to process my stuff. Yeah. While I would much rather come and share the love and the result of the cultivation with people. It's just like respecting our connection as a place of love.
Yeah, it comes always in your smile.
Yeah. I have heard from people, though, that they considered it useful if I shared my story and stuff like this. And it happens now and then, but mostly like this, where I talk with someone who is asking.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.